listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, wishing there really had been only one. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, in from his quickening, ready to talking about a little Highlander.
We both have recently suffered through, separately, the first two Highlander films again. I actually watched four or five of them back in the day when they were at Blockbuster, and so was I. But, like, I don't remember most of them. Number three was terrible. Number four was worse. I can't remember if I even watched number five. Yeah. Oh, so bad. But number one and number two stuck out in my head because, well, they're both bad. I mean, like they're fun, but they're bad. Well, number two's just bad. But they're, like, there's a whole franchise of them that you can get into, and I'm desperately fighting having to do the rest of them at some point because they're bad.
Yeah. But,
like, there's a quirky charm to the first one that I think the sequels certainly lost.
Yeah, it's a fun kind of, like, you know, time traveling story, Scottish Highlander. Like, it was like what Braveheart did a lot better without the time travel.
Yeah. It's weird because Highlander 1 is two good movies that are shoved together unnecessarily. Like, right. There's that really great adventure in Scotland that I could have just kept watching and that would have been fun. Leading to, like, a climax where, like, the bad guy fights the good Scottish dude. I know he's not Scottish. He's supposed to be Egyptian or Spanish, but it's played by Sean Connery, and he says he worked with a vocal coach, but I have my doubts with how thick that brogue is. You can't fight the Scots, okay?
No.
But, like, if it had, like, built to this point where the bad guy fights the Scotsman, and then the Highlander kills the bad guy, and we ended in Scotland with his wife dying of old age near the end, and he says, "I'll always remember you," and charges off into the future, that would have been a perfect movie on its own. And then, the second movie set in the present with the fight for the prize and everything, that's two good movies, but they, like, I don't know why, they felt like they didn't have enough to make two movies, or they had to rush it, so they did one movie with a kick-ass Queen soundtrack, and they pretty much prevented themselves from ever being able to make a good sequel again.
It's such a strange, like, flow in the movie, isn't it? Like, it was so good in the early on, and then just, it took this strange... it's like they almost said, like, oh, we got to do the time travel thing again, like, and bring him back. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, no, number one is an interesting movie. Imperfect. The sword fighting's not great. The bad guy is underwritten. But it has two very charismatic leads in Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery doing their best to sell what is, let's be honest, kind of shitty material filmed really well. And it's creative in its concept. Immortals that have to behead each other to steal their power. Like, it's so good, you could make a TV series about it. And they did.
Yes. Underrated, to your point, with the underrated... Clancy Brown, you know, a great actor, you know, is underused as the villain in this movie.
No, he's great in it. He tries to chew the scenery as best as he can. He gets maybe 10 minutes of footage. It's kind of bad for him, but he does what he can with it. But, like, there's a kernel of something really interesting that they did take and make really good in the TV series that they eventually did with the other guy, Duncan MacLeod, and
Duncan MacLeod. Yeah.
And that one was so good that it was great until they decided to put him in the movies, and then it was ass again. Don't make these movies, I think, is the lesson we're saying. But
there's a very specific lane Highlander belongs in, and it's that Walker, Texas Ranger kind of, like, you know, aspect of it. It's a made-for-USA kind of concept.
I will wander the countryside beheading people for justice. Yeah, that kind of thing. Like, it's great. There's a lot of immortals. It never feels like the immortals are going to run out, because they're not. It just keeps going in good terms. Yeah. Spoiler. I'm immortal! I have the blood of kings in me. That's what the dude said in the song. Let's just go with it. But it's a one-movie concept, especially if you decide at the very end to have all the immortals fight and die, and you only have one mortal left, and there can be only one. Then they decided, we're going to make a sequel, and you're like, ow.
Yeah, well, everything deserves a sequel, right?
No! This one bombed at the box office. It didn't need a sequel. It just got popular on video. But you killed all your immortals. How do you make a sequel to that? And they're like, well, they're actually space aliens or time travelers from the past, and there's more of them because they'll just come from the other place and go fight.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The first time I saw this, I think, was on, like, USA back in the day, Highlander 2. It was like, I remember the first Highlander, and I was like, okay, I remember this being you know, fun. Yeah. So then I remember watching this, and I was just very confused.
Oh, so confusing.
In the far distant future of 2024, too, by the way.
Yeah, I know, right? Felt so distant in 1991, but, sure like, did. There was a YouTube comedy sketch I saw about, like, a couple scientists bitching about a time traveler coming to them and saying, I'm from 2055, and I need your scientific device. And they're like, I call bullshit, because you're not from far enough in the future that you should have this tech. Like, and that's funny, but it's also accurate. The level of tech we see in Highlander 2 for what the Immortals are doing and everything else, it shouldn't exist in 2024, as we just saw. So, yeah, Highlander 2 is just a bad movie. I have a review for it. We could go into it in detail, but I don't think we need to because it's just a bad movie.
The charmingness of the first one is trumped by the idiocracy of the second one and the incoherentness of the story.
So much. I know a lot of people that say there really is only one. Highlander 2 doesn't exist, and it's hard to disagree with them with like the very 90s special effects and costuming, the characters being really weird, the villain played fabulously by Michael Ironsides, who has so little to do that he just decides to eat all the scenery in existence instead. It's an incoherent plot. None of it works start to finish, and you're like, who devised this? Because this is terrible.
Yeah, it's just very strange concepts throughout the whole thing. You know, there's some good actors in this. Like, you know, to your point, Michael Ironsides, he's a good actor.
He's great.
You know, John C. McGinley is in this movie too. You know, he's one of those guys that's just like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Like, he's a good actor. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's, you know, even good actors can't save bad movies sometimes.
No,
and
no,
like
no.
The special effects, like you say, it's very cheesy. It was like that very 90s feel of like you could tell that the way it was edited just was very, nothing lines up correctly. It just looks bad at times.
So bad. Michael Ironside said in an interview after the fact, he and Lambert and Connery knew the movie was bad. They'd all signed on. They read the script. They're like, this is terrible. But for some one reason or another, or they needed the money, they were contracted to it. So Michael Ironside said, reason why I act so over the top and so bad in that movie is because, like, if I'm going to be in a bad movie, I'm going to commit as fully as I can to the performance of a really terrible movie.
Yeah. And
he does.
That is the quality of the actor that he is.
Yeah. He gives the worst, best performance I think I've ever seen. At the very least, he's having fun.
Yeah. You know, maybe it was just three guys that wanted to hang out, but, you know, the product they produced was... Even the three of them having fun couldn't save it.
No, it was just bad. I said in my review, this is one of those movies where normally in a bad movie, I try and find a thread that I can pull something to say, if you'd fleshed this out better and followed this, you could have redeemed this movie, made it better. But they already had that chance with Highlander 2. They had the Renegade edition. And like, they couldn't make the movie watchable even then. Most people have only ever seen the Renegade version because that's all that's available now. And it's still bad.
Yeah. It's times that extra content or extra editing does not do justice to things that are even, you know, bad in general in the first place.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah. So they decided that with the third one, they'd ignore the second one. And then with the fourth one, they decided they'd ignore everything that happened in the previous three for the most part. And it just... It was bad. Their best bet was just to do Highlander, the TV show, which they did, and ignore everything else. And that worked until they didn't.
Yeah, it's... We talked about it earlier. You know, this is a very specific lane and genre of this style of story. And it's not built for the silver screen.
No.
It's just not.
No.
It's a good concept and it's a good story and it's a good formula. And, you know, the characters can be intriguing. But it's best based over a series of series episodes.
Yeah, where you can have him meet an immortal, see if the immortal's good, have him fight the immortal if he needs to, behead someone, move on. That way you can build each one as a story and build to that quickening that's supposed to happen. And the movies just can't.
There's too many immortals, I guess, all over the place. Because you said there's no shortage of them.
No.
So you don't get the... For being immortal, they're all in the same spot at the same time. And you've all lived for how long without killing each other already? And now there's like seven of you dead in the period of this movie? It just...
Yeah.
Some of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, I guess when you are born with the blood of kings, as the song says, and you know how kings got around with all their mistresses, I guess it kind of makes sense. How many people have the blood of kings in them? Probably a lot, honestly.
It's
diluted and very inbred, but still, it's there.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Kings are gonna king.
Kings are definitely gonna king. Yep. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, knowing that it's good to be the king. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
And your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna, you know, quickening himself away from watching these at any other point again.
Yeah. We will see you all next time.